Today we are going to do a series in Jonah, and if you have a Bible, you can find the book of Jonah in the Minor Prophets. There are some pew Bibles in the chairs in front of you if you'd like to follow along throughout this series. We're going to actually get right into the text of Jonah. If you have a phone Bible app, it's the book of Jonah. For those new to reading the Bible, or if you don't have one, we have some good news today. It is also going to be on the screen so you can follow along and read along with that. If you are new and you do not have a Bible, we have one for you. There's one out on the entry on the table that's under the announcement screen. Please take one. As you're finding Jonah in your Bible, let me give you a little analogy for the world in which Israel finds itself in the prophet's time. So 4 years ago, I put up some solar lights out on the patio in the pergola. The first couple of years, they shined really bright. It was nice, but this spring, I noticed that they'd kind of lost their luster. So I got the ladder out, I climbed up, I found the solar panel on the top, and it looked like it was in pretty bad shape, so I took it off, brought it down, cleaned it all up, went back up, put it up, and waited for night to come. And when it got dark, the lights popped back on. There was light on the patio, but it was still really dim. God called Israel to be a light to the nations, but in the time of Jonah, it seems that at best they were a dim light in a hostile world. So the big idea in this first message in the book of Jonah, in this first chapter, is this. However hostile the world may feel around us, God's love is at work. It seems timely for the world we live in. Like Israel, we have a mission to shine God's love in our world, and we are called to do it boldly and reflect who God really is. And today we discover in Jonah's story that God shows unfailing compassion and shocking grace, even to people who don't deserve it. So the book of Jonah is not so much about what the prophet says as much as it is about the prophet himself. And it starts with Jonah resisting God's call to preach to a longtime enemy of Israel. So that seems a bit strange for a prophet, especially if you think about it, when he's called to pronounce judgment on his enemies. It really kind of seems like a great opportunity to see them get what they deserve. So let's go to the beginning of the book of Jonah 1:1 and see what's going on. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead. Jonah 1:1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. I think this is a pretty straightforward for Jonah to message for Jonah to deliver. It doesn't need a point on about what's going on. The New Living Translation, he describes what God says to Jonah in this way. He says, I have seen how wicked its people are. So God simply says, Jonah, go tell them judgment is coming. They'll know what that means. They'll know what to do. There are times when judgment just feels right. Have you ever felt like someone should get what they deserve? We would think, for Jonah, things are finally starting to fall into place in his world. Nineveh, their enemy, is in God's crosshairs, and all Jonah has to do is tell them, judgment's coming. So what does Jonah do? He runs away. If we pick up in verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. So I think we can assume one thing about Jonah is that he was not picked because he was the most prepared or the most qualified for his mission. I come to that conclusion because his first action is to run away. So I can just imagine Jonah saying to God, I'll do anything you want. I'm all yours. You just don't make me go preach to them. Or maybe you can relate to Jonah. I can. God, I'm all in. Just not that all in. Anything else, mostly, you know, God, with limits. But that's not how God works. The one thing we do discover that Jonah is good at is running. So if we're following along again in the scripture, verse 3, Jonah 1, he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish, He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. That's the New Living Translation. So he's trying to escape. Jonah is willing to become an international fugitive to get as far away as possible. So if we look at this map up here, we get an idea of how far he wants to go. Joppa is where he's boarding the ship. He's called to go to Nineveh, 550 miles, definitely a difficult journey, but he could do it. Instead, he hops on a boat heading to the farthest ends of the known world, 2,500 miles away, five times further in the opposite direction. Do you think Jonah's serious? I do. I think he really wants to get away. So maybe Jonah thought that if he refused this mission, if he put some distance between himself and God and whatever God planned to do, then God would just find somebody else. I get that. You know, whether it's Jonah or you or me, God will eventually find someone who's willing. Yet if we look a little deeper at this, even though this is a story about Jonah, what's in view here, what's really important, is the sovereignty of God. See, God's plan for Israel is for them to shine their light to the nations, all nations. And it is going to be fulfilled. God isn't changing his mind about who he's calling, and he's calling Jonah. So I think it's fair to ask, why did Jonah want to get so far away from whatever it is that God is trying to do? A little Old Testament history helps us understand a little better what Jonah's real dilemma is. So in 1 Kings 19, if we go back in the scriptures, after Elijah the prophet had fled from the northern kingdom, God revealed to him, Elijah, that those tribes, those northern tribes, would face judgment from the Assyrians, capital city Nineveh. Because of Israel's own mistakes, because of Israel's own wickedness. And by the time of Jonah, Assyria was already causing considerable problems for Israel. And now Jonah suspects something. We don't actually find out this till much later in the story, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. Jonah's pretty sure that God is commissioning him to go to Nineveh, not so that they will be judged, but so that they will repent and be spared. Jonah knows that even when people don't deserve it, God still shows compassion and grace. So Jonah, he's actually stuck in this small view picture of God's big picture plan. He can't see how this can work out for both Nineveh and Israel. So he just wants to run away. We all know what it's like to want to bail. Sometimes it's just like, too much, I've enough. Had enough. Sometimes it seems like running is just the best option. You know, it's the fight or flight response. He's choosing flight. But God doesn't let Jonah off so easily. We already got a sneak peek in the passage today and in the children's message. Good job. So I think we already know what happens to Jonah. So kids, help me out here a little bit. Where does Jonah end up after he's thrown into the sea? In a whale, the belly of a big fish, right? You're absolutely right. So let's find out how he gets there. So in this section, we're going to do a lot of reading. We're going to actually go through the passage again. So if you want to get out your Bibles, we're going in verse 4. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So this is a category, I don't know, serious, right? Storm. And Jonah is with a whole shipload of experienced sailors, and they are all afraid for their lives. So we know this is tough. They think that the storm is somehow caused by false gods of the ancient pagan religions of the time. According to the folklore, these are supposed to be in charge of the forces of nature, so all these pagan gods. So they try to appeal to their idols to calm this chaos that is happening in the sea. In verse 5, we read, all the sailors were afraid, each cried out to his own god, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and he fell into a deep sleep. The scriptures don't say this, but it's hard to explain. Why is Jonah in a deep sleep? It doesn't really make sense. One scholar suggested, I kind of like it, that Jonah, who had never been on the sea before, likely never had sailed before, in the midst of this storm and chaos, he was so out of his league with so much turbulence and fear of the sea that he just simply passed out. He just wiped out. I kind of like that. And it actually kind of fits with this theme of the sovereignty of God. You know, Jonah has no control here, but God does. God has control over nature. God has control over the human affairs of the whole world, the affairs that Jonah's trying to run away from. But no one can outrun God's power and rule and authority. So we'll take a few verses at a time here, 6-8. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? Where is your country? What people are you from?" We're not surprised who the culprit is, right? We know, as the reader, we know it's Jonah. And the seafarers, they want to know why his God is so mad at him that he would cause this violent storm. The bottom line is they want to know if Jonah actually deserves what's happening to him, or if he's innocent, if this is random, if there's something they can do to save Jonah from his God. In verse 9, he says, he answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from God because he had already told them so. So they were terrified now because they realize they are at the mercy of Yahweh, Israel's God. And they tell Jonah, "Are you crazy?" They realize that they don't understand why he would go against not only the creator of the earth, but now the creator of the sea, and then go sailing. Who does that? So things are getting really bad, and there's not much left to do. And verse 11 says, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, and that this great storm, that this storm has come upon you." So God is relentless in pursuing Jonah, and nothing is going to change that. We're getting the picture. But he also knew that God would not hold innocent sailors guilty for tossing him overboard. But you know what? They keep trying to save him anyway. In verse 13, instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Now just imagine, it was bad to start. It's just as extreme as it can be. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. As far as the sailors know, at this point, they think that Jonah has been dealt with by his angry God. They never see him again. I think we'd like to think that these men also became devout followers of the Hebrew God. But we really don't know that. We don't know what happened to him other than they feared God and made some vows. But the story is not about them. It's about Jonah. So what happens to him? Is it over for Jonah? Take a little review. He was given a unique opportunity by God to call Nineveh to turn from their evil and be spared from judgment. What does he do instead? He runs as far as he can in the other way, a direction. Jonah found out that he could not exclude himself from the sovereign action of God in world affairs. He couldn't close his eyes to the things that were happening all around. No matter how far he ran, he was still part of it. And then he's thrown into the chaos of the deep sea. The idea here is certain death. But God is not done with Jonah. He's about to find out that however hostile the world around him feels, even the deep blue sea, God's love is at work. So Jonah gets a second chance as the ruler over chaos, Yahweh, the God of the earth and the sea, sends his rescue at just the right moment. And we read in verse 17, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish." Say huge fish. A huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, why a huge fish? You know, Jonah could have gotten a life raft that fell off the boat. You know, God could have provided a piece of wood that he could have floated to shore with. You know, they weren't probably that far from shore. But that's not how God worked. He sent this huge creature of the deep blue sea, and it is for Jonah. It is a sign. Below the surface, God is in control of the hostile, chaotic waters around him and its creatures. So the sign, a giant creature of the sea, is a fish so big, so dangerous in Jonah's mind, it can swallow him whole and is still completely under the control of God. So I think this is actually the lesson for Jonah, what he's supposed to get. That however hostile the world around him may feel, God's love is at work. So Jonah gets a second chance. And even though he doesn't deserve it, God shows compassion to Jonah by sending a fish to save him. And if we jump ahead to verse 2:10, 3 days later, we read, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." So we're going to come to the end of today's part of this message of Jonah. Jonah went from being called by God to fish vomit. And that's actually good news. Because if you are like me, you can certainly identify with Jonah. Like him, we don't always get it right. We don't always go in the right direction when God calls, and sometimes we even intentionally go the other way, in the opposite way. So this story shows us that God offers Jonah a second chance, and if he offers Jonah a second chance, he certainly will offer you and I the same thing, a second chance. We don't need to fear a hostile world. Instead, we can trust that God's love is still and always will be at work. Are you running away? Are you running? God is calling you back. Maybe you haven't traveled around the world to get away from God, but you know, right here, you're running. Maybe you're just resisting God's direction in your life. Maybe a healing that God wants to bring. Maybe you're not running away, but you're just simply sitting on the sidelines. You know God has called you, but you're avoiding. Maybe you feel like your light is just a little too dim, a little flicker. It's been too long. You've gone too far to possibly be used by God again. You know, a weak light still shines. God's plans prevail, not ours. Are you running? Turn around. Come back. As we come to the table today,